The Epistle for Holy Thursday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper. For at the meal, each one takes first his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not houses for your eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you, for I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily without distinguishing the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many among you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judge ourselves, we must not thus be judged. But when we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world. And the gospel is taken from that of St. John. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that this Father had given all things into his hands, and that he has come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. And he came then to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, "Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash thee, thou shalt have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is cleaned all over. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew who it was that would betray him. This is why he said, "You are not all clean." Now after he had washed their feet and put on his garments, when he had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. A human life begun out of love and constantly consumed by love is now going to display even more clearly its extent, its vastness, its limitlessness. Christ has spent 33 years among us, most in a humble and relatively unknown manner, but now the time has come for our Lord to clearly manifest his love to us. We desire to be among those whom we love. A husband is sad when he's forced to leave the presence of his wife, and it's only upon reuniting with her that he once again has this joy in his heart. Now, there was no man who ever loved more than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, of course, a very sad thing that our Lord must leave those whom he loves. He who loves so much is certain to suffer very much as well. He will suffer much. It will be a great pain for him to be forced to leave the presence of those whom he loves. And who does our Lord love? Whom is it that he is so pained to be separated from? The Blessed Virgin, the apostles, but also you and me. No one loves us in any way which compares to the love which Christ has for us. And so no one suffers the way our Lord suffers to be separated from us. So what is the solution? What way has our Lord found to remain with us, to avoid that painful, sorrowful separation from you and from me? How is he going to stay in our presence? The Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. For in the Holy Eucharist, Christ stays with us. He remains in our presence. He remains among those whom he loves and avoids that painful separation from those whom he so dearly desires to be among. But this amazing solution, this inconceivable idea, only works so far for Christ. And after that, he puts himself at our mercy. He waits in the tabernacle, never too far away from us. He makes himself available, but he does not come all the way to us. He does not force himself upon us. He loves us. He does not force us to love him in return, though. But at seeing so great a love, whose heart among us does not melt? If a small child crawled up to me and reached out his little hand, hoping that I would pick him up, could I turn away and ignore him? Or even more, could I slap him in the face? Of course not. Such innocent love is almost irresistible. Who here has such a cold heart that he wouldn't be moved by a tiny child lovingly desiring his attention? And who among us tonight has such a cold heart that he would refuse that innocent and that hopeful Christ who is waiting for us, hoping that we will give him our love, our time, our attention? Tonight we recall our Lord's bitter agony in the garden. His apostles were all nearby. No one was more than a stone's throw away, we know. Yet he is in his greatest distress, absolutely abandoned and alone. Tonight, after the Mass is finished, we will repose the Blessed Sacrament in the altar over here, and then we will keep watch until midnight, as the apostles did. We will also have the opportunity for confessions. Let us not be wasteful of this opportunity. Let us make sure that we return our Lord's love for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.